We thank you, Father, that for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. And with those same Bibles, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We started a series last week on why be equipped. We are an equipping church. What that means is we want to pour into you the skills needed to be a king, a warrior in the kingdom of God. We want to give you, teach you how to receive and to pour out everything that God has for us. That's what our vision is equipping the body for the work of the ministry. Everything we do revolves around that. That is where our heart lies. We are growing as a church every week and doing a better job of it because we are all learning together. And a word that was brought up this morning as my wife and I were praying that I liked better, because we talked about as you equip somebody you're mentoring, the word that I liked was father or mother, because we are a family. So when you hear me say father someone or mother someone, that's what we're talking about. Disciple making, mentoring, because I like that word better. Because that means you are pouring into someone. You are nurturing the spiritual life of someone. So I want to look at today, because we want to focus on is why we are equipped. It's for heaven's revelation, to have heaven revealed to us. In other words, what does Jesus mean when he says the kingdom of God is at hand? And we're going to get into that a little bit. We want to know the heart of heaven. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 says, therefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also in which is to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now that's a lot. It's very wordy, and we're going to kind of break it down a little bit. But I want to look at right now, verse 17, where he says, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and redemption, revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. So one of the things Paul, as he writes to the Ephesians, is praying for them is that in the Holy Spirit, as they press into him, into his kingdom, they would receive a revelation of what is happening in heaven and wisdom as to how, what to do with it. Because here's the thing, and we're going to break those things up a little bit. Revelation is knowledge, has to do with knowledge, understanding, comprehension, or unfolding of something to bring light into it. to bring a deeper level of understanding. Wisdom is different from knowledge or revelation because wisdom is the application of what has been unfolded, what has been revealed, what God has shown us. Basically, revelation is God showed me this. He showed me that somebody's back is going to be healed today. Wisdom is knowing that God showed me this because God wants to heal their back, so I apply it by going over there and praying for their back. That's wisdom. That's that heavenly wisdom that God wants to give us. Revelation is walking in the mall and you see a store that's got some funky New Age stuff, and revelation is the Spirit of God inside you kind of is just deterred by it. You get that grossed out feeling. Wisdom says, I need to walk away from that because there's a spirit not of God. Or wisdom might say, pray against that right now in the name of Jesus and come against it. It's the application of what the Holy Spirit brings to light. And let's see how this unfolds. See, he says the purpose of this, to see, this is verse 18, see and know hope of your calling and glory of his inheritance in the saints. And if you remember those that were here last week, and if you weren't, you can listen to this on the podcast. We talked about an inheritance, that as a Christian, we have been given every spiritual blessing under heaven in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need, every tool that we need to succeed has been given to us in Jesus. See, there's something in the world of how to make changes. You know, in the psychological field, there's something called the stages of change. And one element to the stages of change is readiness and willingness. Readiness basically says, I've been given every tool. I have been equipped. I have been trained. I have been filled. I have got everything I need within my grasp, within me, that if I do this, there's a high level of success. Willingness is different from readiness because willingness is your belief that if you apply what you've been given in your readiness, you will succeed. So I can train somebody how to fix a car. I can show them the steps. I can spend hours with them. I can walk them through every step, even give them a video online, YouTube, that they can follow step by step. Every tool in their toolbox I can buy for them. I spend hours with them. They've got everything they need to change the oil or, you know, change spark plugs or whatever it might be on their car. Willingness says, I believe in myself that if I do this, I have a high chance of success. So what he's saying here, see and know the hope of your calling. We've been given this hope in Jesus. We've been given everything we need in Christ. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, his word says, lives in us. So we can walk in this. We can live this out. We've been given this to overcome. We're called to be overcomers. We're called to walk victoriously. And just to share a quick testimony, you know, my wife and I were praying this morning at home, and I've got to confess, I've been very frustrated over a lot of things lately. And the Lord finally brought a lot of those things into light, because it's funny, what we noticed and what I noticed is I can see the big problems coming ahead. And therefore, I can prepare myself spiritually. I can get myself, my mind renewed in the Word of God. And I can fight those big things. But, you know, we talk about beware the schemes of the enemy. Well, his schemes have been lately, not the big things, but so many little pebbles that he just throws at you. That he puts in our backpack, in my backpack. But after a while, what might feel like not even an ounce or a half an ounce, when you have 100 of them in there, when you have 200 of them, they start weighing you down. So now that there was a revelation of this, that it's a lot of little things that have just gotten so heavy, I can now apply it in wisdom to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to recognize it and come against those things when they come. Meet them head on. Repent for not giving them to the Lord in the first place, but then give God thanks that I've been equipped now to do battle, to work through these things, work through these frustrations, work through the heaviness that's on my back or on my heart or on my mind, the stress that comes in. Because I have this hope of calling, which is our inheritance, he tells us, for the saints. This is reserved for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. Those who said, yes, Jesus, here I am. I love you because you first loved me. And yes, I want everything you have to give me. I want everything. So this spirit of revelation, let's look at this. Number one, set increased awareness and knowledge of heavenly things. Those heavenly things could mean the big revelations or little revelations. Could mean I want to do this right now, but it also could mean I want to do this in you right now. Or I'm calling you to take a step of faith to do something right now. It's amazing what God has highlighted in this church, that there are so many awesome people here who have been given such an anointing. In other words, that God has supernaturally touch them or bless them in a way where they have specific talents, specific gifts, skills, abilities that God has put in their physical DNA and spiritual DNA to be used for His kingdom. And one of our prayers has been, Lord, bring them to revelation and let it be revealed to them so they would step out in faith so we can do something with it, so we can train them. I shared with you last week that one of the things we've learned, instead of chasing people around to do different things, we decided to do the Jesus model, which is who's leaning in. You know, Jesus went, called his disciples, they came to him. They didn't say no, and then he goes back to their house and chases them back. No. He said, come follow me, and they followed. Who was leaning in? They're the ones you pour yourself into. All right, you're leaning in. Let's get together. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. What is it that He has for you? And then position yourself to be trained, to be equipped. Humble yourself in a position to receive. I shared with this body many, many times. For 4 years, I was mentored by our former pastor. And for a while, for about a period of one of those years, I repeat this testimony a lot because it's so impactful in my life, and I wanted you to realize that it's not always rosy. Ministry is not easy. Stepping out in faith is not easy. But for a year, I could not stand working under him because he was so hard on me. And the reason for that was he was instilling discipline, spiritual things in me. Because you know what? Sometimes we need to be grinded a little bit. Purifying our hearts, our lives, our way of thinking, it's not meant to be easy. If it was, everybody would do it. Picture yourself after not getting your eyes checked for 6, 7, 10 years, using the same glasses. You go, you realize your eyes have changed. You get new glasses. Those first 2 days, till you can see clearly, those new glasses hurt. They hurt you because your eyes are seeing clearly for the first time. But you have to go through that process in order to get to where you need to be, where you can see and do clearly. It's a process. We have to go through the refiner's fire, the Bible talks about. And this is the place where we get equipped, where we pour into. It means sacrifice. It means sacrifice of time. It means sacrifice of effort. It means sacrifice of things that maybe we don't need to be committed to anymore. Might be of people that we need to step away from. Energy here may need to be transferred to putting our energy into this now. Maybe we need to get up earlier and spend time with the Lord. We need to put extra effort in the things that God wants us to do. Might mean commitment to go to a home group where you will learn to pray. You will learn how to not just pray, because there's a difference between, dear Lord, thank you for this day. You're good. Thank you for giving me this and blessing me with that. Amen. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare this. I come against sickness, because by his blood we are covered and by his stripes we are healed. Your faith, let it rise. Position yourself to where you can be poured into and receive. There's a difference with that. And it requires that, because that's our inheritance. See, get to that place where we can learn, because we have to start with the basics. We have to learn how to hear, see, and know from God. God created us. You know, his word says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? In other words, his spirit dwells within us, meant to dwell within us. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, whose spirit is it? It's God's spirit, right? So if his spirit that knows his heart, his will, his purpose, his character, his joys, his desires lives in me, am I not supposed to know those things too, or have them revealed to me? It doesn't take brain surgery to realize that, but we neglect that sometimes. But we need to learn to hear his voice. We need to learn how to position our hearts to hear his voice. Something really interesting happened yesterday at Ocean Grove that I realized for the first time. When we were worshiping there, I clearly saw the difference between those who have learned to get into that position to receive what the Holy Spirit, what God was pouring out, and those who just were sitting there to be entertained with music. Usually I'm leading the worship, so I'm not really paying attention to specific things. I'm just tuned into, God, what do you want to do? But sitting back and just playing my guitar in the background, I was able to look around, and I can see how our people who came out, they knew how to hear. They knew how to get into his presence. They knew how to be touched. They knew how to seek his purpose. And then on this side, you had those that were sitting like this. They were enjoying it, but they were just being entertained. They did not know how to engage, because we are meant to have relationship with God, not be watching a performance, watching God perform. We're meant to engage with him, to know him. And our people afterwards, I know Maureen and my wife went and felt led to go pray with somebody in the back. And from what my wife shared, you can testify to this, that she was in tears saying, I come here all the time. Nobody's ever touched me like this. I've never felt the hand of God touch me like this before. She was in tears. Why? Because our people heard. They were trained and taught to hear what God's heart was in those moments. And they, in wisdom, acted upon it, did something with it. You need to go to home group and learn to do that. You need to ask the Holy Spirit what he's leading you to do, and get under a father or spiritual father or mother who will walk with you in these things. That's how you get trained. That's how we grow. Because in that revelation, we learn how to hear and know the Father's heart, know His will and purpose. We talk about words of knowledge, and again, I'll get more into that in coming messages in this series, and the things of the prophetic. But when you know God's heart, you recognize that some of that is a word of knowledge. In other words, God has given you something that He wants to do, revealing something in that moment that He wants to work in immediately. That's, and simply put, that's a word of knowledge. To be trained in that wisdom, to see what God is doing and do it, and line our hearts up with heaven. You guys know this. Our prayer, my prayer, every time we come together for worship is, Dad, Father, what do you want to do today? Not what I want to do. I don't care what's in the bulletin. I don't care what the order of service is supposed to be. What do you want to do today? And let's line up what you want to do. Let our hearts be lined up to that right now. Because there's nothing more important that needs to be done than what God wants to do. Anything else is second and a very distant second. Nothing is more important than that. When we're out on the softball field, when we're praying together after the game, God, what do you want to do? When we're at Bible home groups, what do you want to do? When we're at someone's home breaking bread, laughing at a coffee shop, having coffee, what do you want to do, Lord? But we need to position ourselves, learn how to position ourselves to receive that. I want to challenge you with something. James 1:22, this is not on PowerPoint, says this. Be doers of the word and not just hearers only, right? This is now audience participation. When you hear that, what do you think about when we talk about the doers? What's the first thing comes to your mind? Ministry. What else? I can't hear that. Missionary? Okay. And this is all correct and right. But why is it being doers of the word, we automatically think things external? Why not realize that before we can be doers of the word externally, we need to be doers of the word in here? We need to be doers of the word to know how to renew our own mind when negative thoughts about our past come to attack us and say, no, I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. I'm not what I was. I'm clothed in His righteousness. He loves me and saved me. Why not be doers of the word here so I can say, you know what? I know I can't do what He's calling me to do in my own strength, but I'm going to choose to take a step of faith and submit that in here first before anything is done out here. Why not be a doer of the word in here and take God seriously when He says, get grounded in my word. Know my heart. Spend time with me. Get yourself under somebody who's a few steps above you to train you up so you can know me deeply and deeper. You can learn what it means to be intimate. See, when it comes to worship, and I'm using worship in a broad spectrum, not just with music worship. Worship is being intimate with God. Being a doer of the word is learning how to love on God and be loved by Him. To truly worship, you know, we sing how many songs? I worship you, or I love you, Lord, all these things. But do we really do that? Is it external love? Is it external praise? Or am I, my heart in that place where it's positioned to be intimate with Him? Have I learned to be intimate? Because let me tell you, I cannot be intimate in a community setting if I don't know how to be intimate at home or in a private setting with somebody who's teaching me to press into the things of God. Be doers of the word in here. But get to that place where you learn how to receive that revelation. Be positioned. You know, in your bulletin, you know, we have our mission to study, which is discover our identity in Christ. Be doers of the word by learning who you are, that you are a child of the King. Because everything else is a lie from hell to keep you from your purpose. Everything less than that is a lie trying to keep you from fulfilling what God created you to fulfill. Be doers of the word here. Family, create community wherever we go to impact the world. You are an atmosphere changer as a child of God. Where you go, you can plant family atmosphere in His presence. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You've learned that. You've received that revelation. You know that. Be doers of the word here. Know that. And again, worship, you know, pursue the supernatural power and presence of God in order to flow in His purpose. His presence for His purpose. That's one of our heart's motto. Not just sing songs to feel good. Not just to walk away saying that was a nice service, but to know when I leave here, I've encountered Jesus, I've been touched by Jesus, I am forever changed by Jesus, I am no longer the same, and I'm walking out to impact the world for Jesus. I try not to be political up here, but you, most of you know what happened yesterday, but the saddest thing for me is I've been praying over this, is thinking about how people are responding. Christians are responding. It's sad. Those who are anti our current president, you'll say, even Christians are saying this happened because the Christians voted for this man who's a, quote, a racist according to them. Those who are pro our president are bad-mouthing them, saying, it's just the media, liberal media, lying to us again, trying to perpetuate this. So it's this going on, and most of my Facebook friends are Christians, and I'm seeing Christians, those who are supposedly in love with Jesus, fighting this thing. And it breaks my heart. Because this side's angry here, this side's angry here, but where's the love of God? Where are the Christians, true, intimate worshipers of Jesus, who are atmosphere changers? They're the ones that need to rise up and say, I don't like what's going on. I may not agree with this side or I may not agree with that side. It does not matter what side of the spectrum you're on. But I know who my God is. And I know that I walk in His power. His presence lives in me. And my prayers matter. And I pray with authority because I am a child of the King. Therefore, as a prince or princess of heaven, my prayers carry weight. My impact carry weight. Therefore, let me pray this way. Let me pray with that full authority. Because I believe what God can do to change things around. But that comes with the revelation of knowing who you are and our intimacy with Christ. So then that leads to the wisdom, which is the application of it. The application. See, we realize that we have victory in those things, that we've been entrusted with something so special from God and so great. And it doesn't have to just be the prophetic gift. It doesn't just have to be words of knowledge. It doesn't just have to be the power of praying in the Spirit. But we've been entrusted with the ability to make a difference, of loving supernaturally. That's a gift from God. Why? Because God is love. And if the Spirit of God lives in this temple, I'm supposed to love as God loved. So love is action. But it begins in here first. We've confused charity with the physical expression of the act of love and forgot that the word love and charity used to initially mean beginning here first. Beginning here first. Why? Because he first loved us and his love's in us. And then we're able to love. Then we're able to act the way he wants us to act. The way he would act. Because we're acting as if he was doing this. He was doing this. I want to just really, really, really quickly, it's not up there, I want to turn to Ephesians 4, 7 through 11 and just read these verses real quick to you. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this, he ascended, what does this mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who has descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. This passage is in reference to what God gives, the inheritance he gives us as Christians, what he pours unto us in his spirit. And what I love is when you think about he led, when he went down to hell, we know in Isaiah, they had talked about how when Christ died, he went and stole the keys, the power of eternal death from hell to give us victory in this. But he didn't just save us. Listen to what he says. He led captivity captive. And he's talking in reference to gifts, to things, to the blessings of heaven that God has for everyone who believes in his name, for every prince or princess of the kingdom of heaven, to his son and to his daughter, what their heavenly father left for them. What does that mean? That means he put a stronghold on your stronghold not to be able to do something. In other words, everything that was keeping that box shut, that was keeping all those awesome things that God has for us, the ability to hear his voice, to know his heart, to act in his power as the apostles did, to move in faith, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, to pray with power and lead people into salvation because of his spirit. All those things, the ability to keep that box closed, he busted it open. He captured the captor and he took him. He binded the captor. He bound what was keeping us bound from being able to move the way we need to be. He restricted what was keeping us restricted from having the freedom we have in Christ to move in the things of God, to be exactly like Jesus. Because that's what we're supposed to do, right? Imitators of Christ. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Don't be just like me. Be like Christ. So everything that kept us from being like him and moving the power and the things of him, he took captive. Basically, your jailer is in jail, so you're free. That's what he's saying here. Not just salvation alone, but there's so much more. Don't get stuck at the cross. Recognize the tomb is empty, and he's been glorified. And he sent his spirit. It's not just, don't get stuck in one place. It's the full gospel. The full message, and I'm going to wrap this up here. But this wisdom, this acting on it, entails being willing to be discipled and discipling. Multiplying yourself is what it is. See, as a father, I want to train my child to be a good father and a good mother so that they can train their child to be a good father and a good mother. That's what we want, right? And most of us want our children to be better than we were. As a spiritual father or spiritual mother, that's what we should want. In training worship leaders, I want them to be a better worship leader than me, than I could ever be. In training teachers, I want them to be better teachers than I could ever be. In training preachers, I want them to be better preachers than I could ever be. Because it's not about me, it's about the kingdom of God. It's about His purpose. That's the revelation we get. That's the act of moving of that revelation in wisdom. Identifying leadership and anointings and recognize who God entrusted with specific things. So what is this all about? And I'm going to conclude with this. What is the purpose of wisdom and revelation? Goes back to verse 18, beginning of verse 18. Eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Let your eyes open so you can know, hear, see, to do. And he says in verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of His glory, His inheritance to the saints, and what is exceedingly greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. In other words, Christ, Jesus is like the operations manager here. He did it. He showed us how to do it. He's running the operation because He said, "My Spirit I give to you. I'm entrusting you. I've taught you. I'm equipping you. I'm pouring it all into you to do this, to work it through." And we saw the evidence of this in His life. He did it. He did it. That's how Jesus lived. And He showed us how to live as He lived. Now see the place that holds Christ because of this. It's in us and for us. That's what He's saying here. And Paul is writing in the Ephesians, "You have this revealed to you, and you've been, I'm praying for the wisdom to act on this so you can be just like Christ. Do exactly what Christ did. Move in that. Not let those things have victory over you. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand." And if you read that and you do a study on that, when Jesus declared the kingdom of God is at hand, He means the kingdom of God is here today. All the aspects of the kingdom of God are manifested here today as we line our hearts up with God and are willing to do what God has already established, what He's already doing. At simply saying, "What are you doing today? What do you want done right now? How do I get right where you want me to be to partner with you in what you are doing right here, right now?" Heaven shows up. He shows up when we do what we need to do. And at the heart of that is positioning ourselves, our hearts, to that place to receive and say, "Here am I. Send me," like Isaiah did. "I'm ready to do it." Because what happened? Isaiah 6, he saw what was going on in heaven. And when the call came to do something, he said, "Mimi, choose me. Mimi, I want to do this. I want to be a part of this right now. Please choose me. Please choose me." Right now, I know this is unorthodox, but I want you to stay in that just place right now. Just let the Holy Spirit stir in you. But I want to ask Ashley, if you will come on up. I waited to now to do this because Ashley got baptized yesterday. And Ashley raised her hand and said, "Mimi, I'm ready. I'm ready to lay it all down for you, Lord. I'm ready to do everything I need to do for your glory because I see your love for me and your hand in my life. You've given me everything. So now I'm giving you my heart. So as a church, I want to present her with a baptism certificate. And would you just take a minute real quick to pray over her with me? Lord, we thank you for Ashley. We thank you, God, for this life that you are restoring to full greatness in you. Her full calling, her full potential, everything, God, everything that you've been holding on, that you've been storing for her till she was ready to receive, and now you're releasing it to her because she's ready to receive it. So thank you, Lord, for her willingness. And we just bless her with a spirit of revelation and a spirit of wisdom and a heart that is just hungry for you like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me right now? In a moment, I'm going to turn it over to Maureen to close out the service. But would you just close your eyes and would you just position your hands like this? This is the receiving position. Some of you may never have done this before. There's nothing funky about it. All we're doing, just like a child, when somebody goes to give a child something, they go like this to receive. Well, we are His children, and the Holy Spirit's pouring out. God is giving you things right now. The Holy Spirit, just bless right now as they receive. Bless them, Lord, with a new revelation. Bless them with a heart that says, I'm ready to do inside first and then go beyond that right now. I want more of you, Lord. I'm not satisfied just living a superficial life. I'm not satisfied feeling nice about a service. I'm not satisfied with just walking through the motions. But I want to be closer to you. I want more, Lord. I want more, Lord. I want more. I want more. And I want to be able to give more. More of you, Lord. More of you.